This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Happy heathen, unabashed atheist, or even irate iconoclast. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. Irate iconoclast? Well, I guess if you're a freethinker, you rate.
Well, if you're clasting at icons.
This show is broadcasting March the 26th, 2011, from Madison, Wisconsin. Free Thought Radio also airs in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it podcasts everywhere. And if you're one of the podcast listeners...
Oh, and did we forget Monterey?
Oh, Monterey, California.
Very and, favorite place.
Alaska still?
No.
Not
that
anymore?
One off the airwaves.
It froze.
The whole station.
The station froze, probably. If you're one of the podcast listeners, you are one of more than 14,000 people who download Free Thought Radio each week. So say hi to each other wherever you are in the world.
And aren't we approaching our 3 millionth?
Yeah. If you add up all our shows in the last 5 years, we're almost at 3 million. And in a week or two, we'll be at 3 million downloads of this show. If you have a favorite local radio station, especially a community radio station, call them up and ask them, why is Free Thought Radio not playing on your station?
And we do love to be in touch with freethinkers who are already firm in their non-belief everywhere, but we think it's also very important to educate the public that they should get some criticism of religion, that they should hear that there are supporters for separation of church and state. We don't want to lose the battle because all people hear is religion, 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 24/7 over the public airwaves. So we are glad to make this radio show available in your community. Let us know.
And we can't do it all ourselves. There's so many state church problems out there. We're going to hear a lot about some of those today. FFRF's seasoned senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, will join us for an update on recent victories to get religion out of government by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And thanks to her diligence and that of FFRF's second staff attorney, Patrick Elliott.
Rebecca has ended a great variety. You would be amazed at the diversity of state church entanglements we encounter. And she's ended a great variety of state church entanglements already just this year. We thought it would be fun to share those victories, since so often there is just bad news on the state church front. It really does pay to complain.
But to continue on with good news, as long as we can, we want to be sure that you caught the study by the American Physical Society reported at its recent meeting in Dallas. They reported that they predict religion will become extinct in at least 9 countries.
They used a mathematical model, and the study, which included researcher Daniel Abrams of Northwestern University, suggests that religion is dying, and these are the nations: Australia.
Yay, Australia.
Australia, Austria, Canada, the Czech Republic, Finland, Ireland, now that's a surprise, the Netherlands, New Zealand, go New Zealand, and Switzerland. I was surprised that all of the Scandinavian countries, including Norway, Sweden, Denmark, weren't part of this, but we'll take what we can get.
The study kind of compared religion to a dying language. It proposed that religion is losing its utility in these nations, that there's no status in belonging to the religion anymore.
Researchers found that 40% of the Netherlands is non-affiliated with religion, and actually I thought it would have been higher than that. The Czech Republic, with 60% non-affiliated, was the highest.
Of course, Zuckerman talks about even if you're affiliated, it doesn't mean you're a believer. There's a lot of Danes who get married in church, but they don't believe any of the dogma.
You're talking about Phil Zuckerman.
Phil Zuckerman's book, yeah. In other good news, we continue to report on FFRF's filing last week of a new federal lawsuit that's challenging the Arizona Day of Prayer, which is proclaimed annually by the governor to commemorate the National Day of Prayer. And as you may know, a federal judge here in Madison, Wisconsin, declared the National Day of Prayer to be unconstitutional. Both the 1952 law and the annual proclamation that is required of the President of the United States. The law requires the President exhort citizens to set aside an entire day for prayer every year to gather together and turn to God. Obama immediately appealed our victory. We're awaiting news out of the 7th U.S. Circuit Court on that appeal. It could be any day now.
So we are delighted to be working with four Arizona members and attorneys Richard Morris and Mark Victor on a new challenge of the National Day of Prayer at the state level. We did speak with the very interesting attorney Richard Morris last week, and now we have some of the news coverage they're getting in Arizona. This is out of CNN TV3 with reporter Tyler Baldwin.
Oh, what a beautiful day the Lord has made. This is what Arizona's all about.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer has never made any secret of the fact she's a woman of faith, but now she's being sued for using her position as head of state to declare a day of prayer in Arizona. The lawsuit says the state has no business in the prayer business, but Governor Brewer says that's a wrong-headed attempt to drive out religious expression. 3TV's Tyler Baldwin is here with both sides of this debate. Tyler?
Well, the people behind the lawsuit filed in court on Tuesday claim that Governor Jan Brewer violated the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution when she declared May 6th the Arizona Day of Prayer.
I'm not looking to keep anybody from you know, exercising their religion, believing whatever they want. That's fine. Just don't get the state involved and don't push it on me.
Mike Wazin is one of the four plaintiffs who filed this lawsuit with the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I'm a freedom-minded person. This is more about freedom than it is religion with me. I don't like the government telling people, especially myself, what to do.
We caught up with the governor in downtown Phoenix at the faith-based City Fest event.
What a beautiful day the Lord has made. This is what Arizona's all about.
She tells us she'll see him in court.
Well, I think it's a little bit frivolous lawsuit. It's something that, of course, the majority of Americans, the majority of Arizonans all support. It's been somewhat of a tradition in America, if you will.
We got a mixed reaction from Arizona residents.
If you don't want to pray, fine. It's just like today at St. Patty's Day. If you don't want to celebrate St. Patty's Day, then don't. If you don't want to pray on Day of Prayer, then don't.
I wouldn't say I'm strongly against it just because the intentions are so good. But I would say on principle and on an ideological level, I'd be against it.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation was successful on a federal level, challenging the National Day of Prayer. A U.S. district judge ruled it unconstitutional.
The same people that are upset that we are, you know, I filed this lawsuit, how would they feel if we decided to enact a national day of non-belief, non-prayer? Would those same people then join us and support us? I don't think so.
Now, that federal case is being appealed. According to the Freedom From Religion organization, 17% of Arizona residents consider themselves non-religious. Tyler Baldwin, 3TV.
So, well, that was a slightly disingenuous argument by bystander about St. Patrick's Day. Here's your president, your Congress, your state telling you to set aside the same day every year for prayer. And you heard Jan Brewer.
Sounded like she was in church.
Yeah, sounded like she was at the pulpit.
And I think the big argument that a lot of people miss in this is the fact that there's a difference between private speech and government speech. We're not suing private citizens, but the government itself has to be neutral on these issues. We're going to combat some fundamentalist nonsense on the next segment, namely the ignorant remarks by the not-so-funny comedian Victoria Jackson, attacking gays on the basis of religion and attacking secular humanism. Before we go out of this segment, though, we want to celebrate a very important birthday.
Today, March 26th, is the 70th birthday of Richard Dawkins. That's everybody's favorite atheist and certainly one of the more distinguished atheists as an evolutionary biologist, author of many important science books and bestsellers, but notably for this show, the blockbuster The God Delusion.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has a bus sign, and I think it's been on a billboard too, with a quote from Richard Dawkins. And let's listen to him say that quote, and then he goes on to say more things about the God of the Old Testament.
The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully.
And it sounds even stronger with that accent, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you can see why he had a blockbuster and very charming.
Also, happy 69th birthday to another favorite freethinker and eminent scientist who's also been on our show, Daniel Dennett. His birthday is on Monday, March the 28th.
So look up their books if you haven't had the pleasure of reading Dawkins and Dennett, The God Delusion, Dennett's Breaking the Spell. This would be a very good way to celebrate their birthdays.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be back in just a moment to take on fundamentalist homophobia. And then we'll celebrate some good old-fashioned state church victories with the Freedom From Religion Foundation's senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Mark from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm the author of the book Christian No More, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And welcome back to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we'd like to invite you to become a card-carrying member of the atheist, agnostic, free thought community by joining the Freedom From Religion Foundation and joining in the growing movement to affirm secular government and reason. Go to ffrf.org and you'll find out everything you need to know to join FFRF, or you can ask for a sample copy, a free copy of our very interesting March Free Thought Today newspaper and ask for more information.
So we heard from a lot of you who were plenty shocked at the recent comments by former comedian Victoria Jackson. You know, we made out pretty well when it came to Saturday Night Live alums.
Janina Garofalo is one.
She's a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Julia Sweeney, of course, an ardent unbeliever, a friend of free thought everywhere with her great play, Letting Go of God. But what went wrong, Victoria Jackson? She's always been a fundamentalist Christian, but does that have to make you so mean?
She wrote a blog this week attacking gays and attacking the TV show Glee, which has been very thoughtful in its handling not just of gay issues, but also atheist issues.
Attacked Glee for showing what I thought was a very sweet and romantic kiss between two male high school students. And then she went on TV and she said even worse things and nastier things. And when the interviewer asked her why she was so homophobic, she said,
"It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what the Bible says."
So God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? Victoria Jackson also said,
"They should have a celibacy campaign instead of trying to make kids gay."
That she's talking about Glee.
Yeah, so watching a TV show is going to make a kid gay. What kind of mindset is that?
So we do want to talk about, what does the Bible say about gays? And does it matter what the Bible says about gays?
Well, I think that if the Bible indeed says that homosexuality is wrong, and there are some verses that do say that, there's a few, but even if the Bible does say it's wrong, then it's not homosexuality that's wrong, it's the Bible that's wrong.
So, Dan, why don't you talk about some of those verses that Victoria Jackson was talking about?
Besides the gay thing, she also commented, she held up this Bible, and it was clearly a Gideon Bible. She must have just grabbed it from her hotel room that morning. She held up the Bible and said, "This is the Word of God, and it says in Ephesians 6:12 that we are battling." Well, Ephesians 6 is this whole thing about...
That we are battling what?
We're battling evil. I can read it here. It's this whole militaristic thing. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Take on the whole armor of God that you can withstand the evil day." So in her mind, it's not just gays and secular humanists, it's all these shadowy ghosts that are fighting for the souls of America and of young people.
Well, the Bible, a lot of the Bible, sounds like it was written by a psychopath. I mean, there are delusions, hallucinations, grotesque punishment, capricious actions, as Richard Dawkins said. And so, you know, we need to reject that. But let's also talk about what the Bible does say about homosexuality. And really, there's almost nothing in it. What's in it is mostly nasty, though. In the Old Testament, after this list of unclean acts, including thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. That is Leviticus 18:22. The Bible warns that the biblical Lord will visit the iniquity upon such persons so that the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, this kind of language is very common in the Bible. If you haven't opened it up, maybe you're not a masochist. It may be surprising to people to know how much of it is lewd and crude and not very nice. And then this pleasant imagery is followed by this edict, supposedly from the mouth of God. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, Leviticus 20:13. Now, how can anybody civilized today walk around with a Bible under their arm and not have people think that they are also culpable for grotesque edicts like this?
The people who wrote the Bible were obviously struggling. They were obviously having problems. Well, Paul, who wrote Ephesians, of course, was very sexist and anti-woman, and he said, don't even get married, you know, but they struggled with human nature. They were basically putting down basic normal human sex drive and sexuality, and they did it in all these gross terms about whoredoms and vomiting, and you're right.
Now, that was the Old Testament, and you were talking about Paul. A lot of Christians today like to say, oh, that's just the Old Testament. Jesus was so nice and loving and sweet Jesus. Well, in the New Testament, Paul does gripe that against women who change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Use of the woman isn't a very nice idea. Burned in their lust one toward another. And he reiterates that people who have these sexual preferences have committed acts, quote unquote, worthy of death. He also complains that they have pleasure in doing this. That seems to bother him just as much. We're quoting Romans, the first chapter, 26 through 32.
So when those two boys kissed on that Glee show, which was a very tender moment, that was an act worthy of death?
Well, and then, you know, there of course, there's the story of Saul and David, which seems to have some maybe tacit homosexual angle. And some gays like to look at that for solace. But what I would say is that it's very dangerous to base our civil laws today, the way that we treat people today, on a behavioral grab bag like this book, the Bible, which is a bloodthirsty and it has no place in civilized society. It has no place in our laws. These are dogmas, and they're dangerous dogmas, and many people have suffered. I mean, look at Matthew Shepard, and look at just the general suffering of people today in a homophobic society, and that is all led by the Christian religion for the most part.
And Paul said that they have changed that which is natural to unnatural. Well, who is Moses or Jesus or Paul to decree to us what is or isn't natural? Heterosexuality is natural, but so is homosexuality, a natural part of the human species. And to denigrate our species with these horrible images is a real insult to humanity.
And an insult to individual gays whom we know and love. And they should not have to be worried about their life or their livelihood being threatened by homophobic bigots like Victoria Jackson, because she believes the Bible is literally true.
We'll be back after the break to talk about many entanglements between religion and government, which the Freedom From Religion Foundation senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, has successfully ended, and also Patrick Elliott, with the help of many of our interns, they've ended it just in the first few months of this year. So it does pay to complain. Stay tuned.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. You want to hear my new joke?
Yeah.
Entering the ministry was a clerical error.
I think that's funny. Okay, well, we have in studio with us, we have the pleasure of a guest in studio and a co-worker, and that is Rebecca Margaret, who's the senior staff attorney at the Freedom From Religion Foundation and has forged quite a position and role. And I thought it would be really fun to have Rebecca come on the show and talk about all the victories that you've had so far this year. It's a lot. I mean, over 300 letters of complaint, formal letters of complaint went out last year between you and Patrick Elliott. Is that right?
That's right.
And we're just besieged with requests for help from the public and members of our own group to end violations of the separation of church and state. And it does pay to complain. And Rebecca, what's the issue that we receive the most complaints about?
That would be religion in the schools. A lot of school prayer complaints, Bible readings, things like that.
And we say we do triage. We like to go to those complaints first because they involve children and a vulnerable group in our society. And so you have quite a few victories chalked up on getting religion out of public schools.
Yes, just this year we've had about 10 victories in the religion in the public schools area. A lot of them involve school prayer, teachers or coaches leading students in prayer. One of the most recent ones that we had was a school in North Carolina, Edgecombe Public Schools. A kindergarten teacher was leading the students in a prayer every day before lunch. But this prayer took the form of a song, which went to the tune of Frère Jacques. We thought Dan could sing it for us today.
The kids sang this in
kindergarten. Yep, she taught them how to sing this.
God our Father, once again, we will ask a blessing, we will ask a blessing, amen. Amen.
And of course, our parent complainant was shocked when her kindergarten student came home singing this before their own meals at home. We wrote a letter to the school, and they acted fairly quickly. Back in November, we wrote to them, and shortly thereafter, they stopped doing the blessing song, which is what the kindergarten student called it. But we didn't hear back from them formally until February, where they said that they had instructed all kindergartner teachers to stop praying with students or teaching students prayer.
And I know that it's you're very patient. You have to do an immense amount of follow-up, especially with these schools. Sometimes they'll stop the violation, but they don't let you know.
Right.
But sometimes this goes on for more than a year, where you're writing a second, a third letter, having an intern call. It really takes persistence.
Yes.
So none of these complaints is easy to remedy. And now I'm assuming in this letter, I can't remember it, I know I saw it, probably you just invoked 50 plus years of clear Supreme Court precedent.
That's right.
So tell us some more.
They're still in North Carolina. We had Columbus County Schools also praying with third graders this time. A teacher at Chadbourne Elementary School in Whiteville, North Carolina, would instruct her students to say the following prayer: thank you for the world so sweet, thank you for the food we eat, thank you for the birds that sing, thank you God for everything.
I have to interrupt. I have to tell you that that's what I was forced to learn as a kindergartner. It was just that year before the first Supreme Court decision stopping prayer in school, and my parents didn't know. I didn't think to tell them. I didn't know what was going on. I was in kindergarten, and that's firmly in my head. But it's shocking that so many years later, we would still have these violations with small children in the schools.
You're still pretty young. It wasn't that many years ago.
Anyway. It was quite a few.
Well, she was instructing her third grade students to say this prayer each day before lunchtime. So we wrote to the school, and they responded, and it was kind of a funny response, so I wanted to read a little bit of their letter to us. It was from the principal of the school. He appreciated us bringing this issue to his attention, and he says, as each year, at the beginning of the year, teachers are instructed concerning the issue of religion in the schools, but being in the Bible Belt, it's oftentimes forgotten. We have taken the appropriate measures to address it and will monitor the situation to be sure it does not occur again. Hmm. And it's just a very long letter where he just continually thanks us for bringing this to his attention.
Well, and this is very unusual.
Right. Usually they go to great lengths to say they didn't do anything wrong, but they took steps to correct it anyway.
They're going
to
stop it. Okay, so that's victory number two. What are some more?
We had two violations occurring at McNairy County Schools in Tennessee. They were praying at their athletic games, mostly football games, and then also having student-led prayer at graduation ceremonies. That was actually a scheduled part of their graduation ceremony. So we wrote to them. This was after our Soddy Daisy complaint last fall,
which dominated the headlines in Tennessee for the whole month of October. I'm sure we played some of the TV coverage from that.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
And after that went out into the press, we got just flooded with violations from all over the state of Tennessee. And this was just one of them. And the school district did respond saying that they took the appropriate measures to stop student-led prayer, teacher-led prayer, any sort of
commencement prayer.
Right.
Now, and I want to say, Rebecca, what a big victory this really is, because in the South still, sometimes it's necessary to go to court to stop this kind of stuff. Even though the law's on our side, they just won't listen. So congratulations.
Thank you. We also did, we were a little proactive in Tennessee too, because we were getting so many complaints. We ended up just sending a letter, as you know, to all of the school districts in Tennessee. It was over 100 school districts in Tennessee, just outlining the law and reminding them that they can't have school-sponsored prayer at their football games or graduation ceremonies or anywhere else in the
school. So who knows what that letter might have stopped?
Right. Yeah, we did not ask for a response on that. It was just more of an educational letter.
In Soddy Daisy, the superintendent said he talked with their attorney, you know, the school board's attorney. And of course, what are they going to say? There's the law, right? So I bet you a lot of these people are talking with their legal counsel, and they're being reminded that this is unconstitutional.
That's right. So the next prayer complaint that we had was in Virginia.
I'm getting a theme here, yes. Mostly the South.
We have a northern state coming up, I know.
Well, this one's a little bit different because this was Loudoun County, Virginia, where they were praying before their baseball games rather than football games. And in fact, the baseball team had a picture in the yearbook of their prayer circle where you could clearly see that the coaches were also taking part. And there was a quote from the student that said, before each game, we go to left field, take a knee, take our hats off, and the team prays together.
Take a knee. So that means pray.
Right. Right. So we wrote a letter to the school district and included the relevant pages from the yearbook. And the school district responded in early January saying that they've taken steps to ensure that the administrators and coaches are aware of the current status of the law and that they'll strictly adhere to the parameters
of
that law.
So once again, a very, very good, firm victory.
So those people were out in left field, weren't they?
And then we have another one in Texas where a school choir was praying. This was actually Patrick Elliott, the other staff attorney's complaint and victory. In that case, the choir director was leading his students in prayer in class, but then also before singing competitions. Each Friday during class, they would be instructed to sing the song, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." And we were told by our complainant that the students would be in a circle holding hands with their heads bowed while they sang this song.
A little blessing before choir.
And then apparently they also had a Sunday worship service after they won a choir competition in March of 2010. So Patrick wrote a letter to the school district and they responded that the choir director and other teachers were instructed that while acting in their official capacity, they can't be leading prayer or participating in it.
So well done.
Yes. Then we're on to different victories, but still within the religion in public schools realm. Earlier or late last fall, we got a complaint from a parent in New York. The Alexander Central School District Social Studies Club was planning a trip to Washington, D.C. It was going to be a 4-day trip at the end of April of this year. But when they got the draft itinerary, there was a stop included to a Catholic shrine. They were taking a bus from Alexander, New York, down to Washington, D.C., and they were going to make stops places like Gettysburg, but then also this Catholic shrine.
Elizabeth, is it Elizabeth Seton? She was the first woman
saint
that the Catholic Church picked out in the United States.
Yes.
Hardly a secular pit stop.
Right. So we wrote to the school district and asked them to drop the Seton Shrine from the itinerary, and they did.
And that's a big one, I think.
Yes.
I mean, we were able to find out about it in advance and stop. And so often it's retroactive that we complain after the fact.
Yes.
And we didn't have to go to court.
Exactly. Then Patrick had another victory. There was an 8-inch cross on a public school bus in Owosso Public Schools in Oklahoma. And he wrote a letter asking them to remove it. And they did within 3 days of receiving his letter.
Very good response. And that's quite an egregious complaint.
Well, another really egregious complaint that Patrick handled and also got a victory on was a community college minister program in Michigan. The Wayne County Community College District, a publicly funded college, offered a, I'm trying to get the name, the Ministerial Leadership Academy Studies Certificate Program. And Patrick wrote a letter to the college telling them that it was inappropriate for a publicly funded college to include a devotional studies course, essentially helping ministers become ministers. And they did review the situation and have agreed to cancel this program after this year.
So that is a big victory.
Yes.
Now, are we done with school or we have one more?
Nope, we're done with school.
So now we're on to senior. We may not have time to get to all the victories, but we have senior center prayer going on, and that's a very common complaint.
Yes, this one was pretty egregious as well. The Sheboygan Senior Center in Michigan, in Sheboygan, Michigan, would have, they offer a daily meal service for senior citizens. And prior to the meal being served, one of their employees would get up and over the microphone recite the Lord's Prayer. And we got a complaint about it and sent a letter to the center saying that, you know, if this meal is being funded by federal dollars, you're prohibited from including any sort of religious activity as part of this program. And we did receive word from our complainant that the prayer had been stopped.
And I think it was just this week you actually finally got the begrudging letter.
Exactly. They did not want to concede that they had done anything wrong, but they did say that they altered their practice.
Yes. So, I mean, that's well done.
So from kindergartners to senior citizens being prayed at.
Now, exactly. We only have a couple minutes left in this segment. Do you want to talk about the bell ringers?
Sure. This is a December complaint, one of our holiday complaints. You know, the Salvation Army stations bell ringers at various public locations. But this one was in Elgin, Illinois, and it was on postal property. They were stationed in front of the post office doors, and they would actually open the doors for postal patrons. And it is against postal regulations to do any solicitation, religious or not, on postal property. So we wrote to the postmaster in Elgin and informed her of the regulations, of which she was unaware. And she ended up writing a letter to the Salvation Army in Elgin and told them that you would no longer be able to stand here and solicit.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that the Salvation Army, although it gets vast infusions of public money, is actually a denomination. It's a very evangelical
it's
kind
a religion.
Of and religious Christian denomination.
Their clergy have military ranks like captain and sergeant.
But they're ordained.
But it is an actual religion, yeah.
So it just be like the Hare Krishnas or whatever, standing right there in front of the post
And the
office.
Postmaster didn't even realize it was a religious organization, but she did say, well, it didn't even matter because we're not allowed to have solicitors.
Now, I think we have time at least for one more, and that was a complaint out of West Bend, Wisconsin, or where was that, the jury oath?
Oh, yes,
complaint.
It was West Bend, Wisconsin, Washington County Court. One of our members had contacted us. He was involved in jury duty, and he was not given the option of doing a secular affirmation. The only option he was given was the religious oath, and so he contacted us, and we wrote to the judge, And the clerk of courts wrote us back and said they've altered their practice and now they offer all jurors the opportunity to take a religious oath or the secular
and
affirmation.
As far as I know, I don't know that we really know that that's going on here in Dane County, because I didn't have that opportunity many years ago as a jury, part of a jury panel. So the law requires it, but they don't make it possible for you to opt out of the religious swearing in.
Right.
No way to have a secular swearing in unless they say you can do both or either.
Right. A lot of prospective jurors don't know that they could ask the bailiff that they want a secular affirmation. They just don't know the procedures and they're not ever given them.
Right. So that's a very major victory. Well, we only had two left to talk about. We'll work them in the fourth segment. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We are hearing a lot of good news from Rebecca Markert, FFRF staff attorney, about ending a lot of state church violations. And we'll be right back to talk about a major violation in the Minnesota State Senate.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We don't just take federal lawsuits, we complain at the local level as well. And we're continuing our talk about some state church victories.
And yes, we try to end violations without ever having to go to court. And thanks to our guest, Rebecca Markert, we are doing so in many instances. She's the senior staff attorney at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're wrapping up victories, recent victories, and you had two over, I think it's... secular victories.
Well, they're civil rights violations, not state church violations, but ones that we still address. One of them was a church bulletin discount at a frozen custard shop in Oklahoma City. It was Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers. They had a large placard outside of their locations in Oklahoma City that said 10% off with a church bulletin discount. That's a violation of the federal civil rights Act and the Oklahoma state law. And so we sent them a letter and notified them of that. And they responded saying that they had ended the promotion.
And then the other one was a parking lot privilege.
At the University of Kentucky Hospital, any clergy members that were going to visit patients in the hospital got to park for free, but everybody else had to pay a rate of 75 cents an hour. And we wrote to them saying that that was also a violation of the Civil Rights Act and Kentucky state law, and we asked them to drop the free parking for clergy members. And they wrote back and they said that they realized that there were patients at the hospital that may not believe in God or hold any sort of religious beliefs. And so they opened up the free parking policy to any secular counselors, any professional counselors offering spiritual or emotional support to patients.
So that's kind of a cute victory. Now, really briefly, we are going to turn to a complaint that was really brought to the attention of all of us by Minnesota State Senator Terry Bonoff, who really objected to an over-the-top prayer to open the Minnesota Senate on March 14th. And let's listen to that.
Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for your greatness and your power. We know the heavens declare the glory of God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to show reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God today. We ask your divine guidance upon this assembly. Give them wisdom, help them to realize that they are ministers of God as well as ministers for the people. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to recognize that there are many problems that we have in our culture, in our state, in our nation. And Father, there are many sins that we're concerned about, and we need to be willing to turn from sin and turn to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to fill our spirits with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God. Help us to realize that the solution to our problems are found in truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, that if we are willing to turn from our sins, that you will bring blessing. If my people, which are called my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We want to see our land healed, and it can be healed if we turn to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
So we only have a little bit of time left.
Was that a church service or a state senate?
That was last week or 2 weeks ago in the state senate. And so, Rebecca, you have now written the president of the senate and saying briefly what?
To drop prayer altogether because these Christian prayers cause divisiveness as they have in the Minnesota state senate. This prayer offended the Jewish senators and then other people in the gallery, of course.
And yeah, and it offended me, you know, talking about sin and divine guidance and wickedness and, you know, fine in church, but it doesn't belong in the Senate. And we also let our Minnesota members know about this and ask them to chime in on this. And well, so we want to congratulate you for all of your victories and all your hard work and diligence and follow up. And trying to keep religion out of government.
You know what's going to happen? She's going to be getting a lot more calls and emails now from people listening to this show. So
we don't run out of work.
So thank you, Rebecca, and you and Patrick and the interns for all this.
Yes, and we should mention the interns. They are working for us now. Well, Stephanie is not really an intern.
Yep, Stephanie Schmidt, she was an intern a couple of summers ago, and then we have two UW Law students, Jane and Jamie.
So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, and thank you, Brian, for your engineering work here in Madison, Wisconsin. By the way, that's the closing music to the TV show, that evil TV show, Glee. If you want to hear the archives or sign up for the podcast of this show, go to ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can support our broadcasts, our podcasts, and our legal work, our legal staff, our litigation, our education about non-theism. We're going to have a big story on that next week out of Raleigh. Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought Today at 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.